Well, I want to continue what we didn't finish this morning by the help of the Lord. We've been talking about fruit for weeks. We've brought fruit here and looked at fruit in the natural. And I hope we've got a picture of fruit in our life. I hope that we have got a picture how much God wants to produce in our life some of those good, wholesome blessings that He has to give. I was thinking about the group of Hivites that we talked about, and from Gibeon that came and deceived Joshua, and they told them, Joshua 9 and 3, I'm going to go ahead and read that, and I just want to finish this little thought. And when the inhabitants of Gibeon heard what Joshua had done unto Jericho and to Ai, they did work wilily and went and made as if they had been ambassadors. Now, what's wilily mean? Anybody have any idea? Slyly. They were tricky. They worked trickily. They were out to trick, weren't they? And it worked. And made as if they had been ambassadors, and took old sacks upon their asses, and wine bottles old and rent and bound up, and old shoes, and clouted upon their feet, and old garments upon them, and all the bread of their provision was dry and moldy. And they went to Joshua unto the camp at Gilgal, and said unto him and to the men of Israel, We be come from a far country. Now therefore make ye a league with us. And the men of Israel said unto the Hivites, Peradventure ye dwell among us, and how shall we make a league with you? And they said unto Joshua, We are thy servants. And Joshua said unto them, Who are ye, and from whence come ye? And they said unto him, From a very far country thy servants are come, because of the name of the Lord thy God. For we have heard the fame of him, and all that he did in Egypt, and all that he did to the two kings of the Amorites that were beyond Jordan, to Sihon, king of Heshbon, and to Og, king of Bashan, which was at Ashtaroth. Wherefore our elders and all the inhabitants of our country spake to us, saying, Take victuals with you for the journey, and go to meet them, and say unto them, We are your servants. Therefore now make ye a league with us. This our bread we took hot for our provision out of our houses on the day we came forth to meet you, to go unto you, but now behold, it is dry and moldy. And these bottles of wine which we filled were new, and behold, they be rent. And these our garments and our shoes are become old by reason of the very long journey. And the men took of their victuals and asked not counsel at the mouth of the Lord. And Joshua made peace with them and made a league with them to let them live. And the princes of the congregation swear unto them. What a story. You know, Joshua, I think they became a little self-confident, didn't they? The Lord had been working for them and they didn't ask counsel at the mouth of the Lord. This seems like a big thing. I would think they would be asking counsel at the Lord, asking Him. But you know what? They became a little off their guard. Do you know that we are just like that if we're not very careful? And so we know the rest of this story, that they never forgot this mistake. I'm sure that Joshua didn't repeat this one. We don't have record of it that I know of. Joshua did not repeat this mistake. But you know, he learned from that. And that was probably a very valuable thing to him. But they suffered for it nonetheless. And so this afternoon, I just want us to think a little more about how much the Lord longs and wants to create in our lives some things that are going to be a real blessing to us. In Ephesians 2 and 10, it says here, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." Do you know that we're the workmanship of the Lord? The Lord uses so many different ways to try to tell us. He says he's the farmer, he's the gardener, and you know, and he's the vine, and we're the seed is to take place in our ground. And different things. And then he talks about us being the seed and dying. All of those different ways. But here he says, you're his workmanship. He's made you. And how the Lord wants you and me to be made after the image of the Lord. But I'm thinking this afternoon just a little longer. We're not going to be very long, Lord willing. But I'm thinking about how much the Lord thinks and how much he cares about his workmanship and how much he cares about what he's doing in your life and mine. I think if we really got the picture of how much the Lord is longing to create in our life, it would help us a whole lot in allowing him to work. In Luke 13 and 6, Luke 13 and 6. "He spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon, and found none." Now this is a parable, and he's telling us a little story that has meaning in it. And he said, there was a man that had a fig tree, and he planted it in his vineyard. And he came, and there wasn't any fruit on it. "Then said he unto the dresser of his vineyard, Behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? And he answering said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it. And if it bear fruit, well, and if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down." Do you know the Lord's not looking to cut us down? He is not looking to chop off our branch. He's not looking and hoping that some way we're going to make a mistake. He's looking for us to bear fruit. And so he came to this fig tree, and it wasn't bearing fruit. And he said, I've come now 3 years looking for fruit off of this. And he said, I'll just cut it down. But the dresser of the vineyard said, now who would that be? I'd say that's the Lord in our life. And he said, let it alone this year also. Let's go another year. Let's. I know 3 years it hasn't happened, but let's try it another year. I'm going to fertilize it. I'm going to do everything I know for this tree, and we'll see if it can bear figs after that. And so this morning, this afternoon, I believe the Lord is very interested, diligently looking, working, trying to help us. He sees we're not bearing what we ought to be bearing. You know what? He's not looking to put us out the back door. He's looking to help us to get to where we need to be. And so he's working with us. He's going to, well, I'm going to fertilize it. You know, he's going to put labor into that. He's going to put effort into trying to make that bear fruit. Another example like that is Jeremiah 18. And most of us are very familiar with this. But Jeremiah 18 and 1, little story about the potter. It says, "The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, Arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So what? Took the clay and threw it out? I'm not going to give up on this thing. He said, so he made it again, another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. Now, it wasn't the first vessel. Might not even have been the same way. Might not have been this tall thing. It might have been fat and round or what. But the Lord wanted to make something out of it useful, didn't he? He didn't give up on it. He didn't say, I'm going to toss it. He said, I'm going to work with it. Do you know we can take that home with us today? The Lord is looking to work in our lives. And if it hasn't happened in the past, He's wanting it to happen yet. He's still wanting to dig around. He's still wanting to take that lump of clay and remake it. The Lord wants to do that for us if we will let Him. And then the word of the Lord came to me saying, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in mine hand, O house of Israel. At what instant? Listen to the Lord's mind. We get His mind through the different places in the Word. At what instant I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to pluck up and to pull down and to destroy it? If that nation against whom I have pronounced turn from their evil, I will repent of the evil that I thought to do unto them. Isn't that awesome this morning, this afternoon? That's the kind of God that we serve. He says, even if I determined I'm done. Even if that nation will turn and repent of their evil, you know, I'll repent of the evil that I was going to do to them. Now, if that's the way God is, won't He of His people have compassion and love? Won't He of you and me see our needs, and He's looking so earnestly to make out of us the vessel that He wants to make? Oh, I'm glad I know these things about the Lord. Aren't you glad that you know something about God? Aren't you glad that you don't see Him as much of the world sees Him? When I hear people talk about the Lord and I hear them say of Him as if it's some scourge, I'm thinking, you don't understand. We want to understand, don't we? We want to understand the mind and the heart of God. I believe the Lord, He wants the fruit to come on. He wants it to mature, to complete maturity. And so He works with us. And He works and He tries. And He has long patience for the fruit of the earth many times. When He sees that our heart is truly honest and sincere. You know, I was thinking about another thing with this. When it's time to grow, let's grow. Because the time isn't always there. Winter comes, and it's not time to grow then. It's the time to grow is past. Winter is when it's cold. Winter is when the ground, it's not the right temperature. The sun's not out long enough in this where we're at that time of the year to grow. Grow when it's time to grow. Grow when the Lord's dealing with us. Work with Him. Because there's going to come a time, and I believe that many times it happens that it comes a time when we ought to be to a place. And people take great losses because they're not there. I say that because I've seen homes break up that the Lord didn't want to break up. But there was a time that they could have grown. There was a time that there was desire. There was time that there was reaching for, but it didn't happen. Somebody did not follow through. And the time came that it was too late. It was too late, too little, too late. It wasn't possible at that point. This happens a lot. And we see where people jump in. They try to do something, and it's too late. It's too late. The time to grow was when the Lord was dealing with us. The time to grow was when His Word was talking to us. It was when we had all those years that the Lord was saying, I want you to humble down. I want you to grow from my presence. I want you to live for me. I want you to crucify your flesh in this area. I want you to learn to get along in your home. I want you to learn those things, because there comes a time when it's too late. Maybe the Lord has a calling for us. Maybe He has a place to move us into. And He has all in His mind. I need this person right here in this slot. And you know that if we haven't grown when we were supposed to be growing, we can't move into that slot. That's just the way it is. The scripture bears that out, and it says, I looked for a man to stand in the gap. Somebody, I needed somebody there. I needed somebody that there was respect for. I needed somebody that I could use, and I didn't find them. And he said, therefore, in his fury, he destroyed. And, you know, that is the way that it happens many times. The Lord is working with us for very, very specific purposes. He has in mind, He knows the kind of battles He needs to put you and me in. He knows what He can allow us to have, because He knows the end thing. He knows what He's trying to develop us for. And so He's working with us. During that time, that is the time for you and me to grow. That is the time to give ourselves to the Lord. So I don't have a long message this afternoon. I'll read one more place, perhaps one more. Ezekiel 33 and 11. And we find here again a little about the heart of God. Say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways. For why will ye die, O house of Israel? Therefore, thou son of man, say unto the children of thy people, the righteousness of the righteous shall not deliver him in the day of his transgression. As for the wickedness of the wicked, he shall not fall thereof in the day that he turneth from his wickedness. Neither shall the righteous be able to live for his righteousness in the day that he sinneth. When I shall say to the righteous that he shall surely live, if he trust to his own righteousness and commit iniquity. Now that's what your trusting in your own righteousness does. I hope we get a hold of things like that through the scripture. The religious world all around us is saying our righteousness is as filthy rags. Do you know that scripture? But do you know there's a proper understanding, and it's totally perverted and changed by the religious world around us? He says, if he trusts in his own righteousness and commit iniquity. That's what happens when we trust in our own righteousness. But all his righteousnesses shall not be remembered. But for his iniquity that he hath committed, he shall die for it. Again, when I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, if he turn from his sin and do that which is lawful and right, if the wicked restore the pledge, give again that he hath robbed, walk in the statutes of life, without committing iniquity, he shall surely live. He shall not die. None of his sins that he hath committed shall be mentioned unto him. He hath done that which is lawful and right. He shall surely live. Yet the children of thy people say, the way of the Lord is not equal. But as for them, their way is not equal. And so this afternoon, I just want to leave us with those little thoughts. That the Lord sees us. His heart and his thought is that our lives be bring forth fruit and be matured in him. He has no pleasure in the death of the wicked. He has no pleasure in you and I misstepping or whatever. We want to realize that God, his heart is to ever help us if we will. If we will let Him, He will ever help us. If we will search for Him, do you know that even if we misstep, I'm glad I know this. I hope I always know this. Do you know that even whatever our life entails, the Lord still longs for you and me? He doesn't, even if He's pronounced judgment, you know, He still isn't looking for to hurt us. The Lord longs for us to turn our hearts to Him, to humble ourselves, to allow Him to work in us, to allow Him to take us to the places that He wants us to go. And He has all of that in mind. Oh, the Lord, I can just see He has in His complex isn't a good word for it, but His infinitely complex mind. He has so many things that He wants to see done. And all, and if someone missteps, let's don't throw it down. How God wants to see us make it. How he even told these wicked Israelites over and over, he said one place, I'm married, something like I'm married to the backslider. You know, that was because the Lord saw their needs and He kept trying to help them. And do you know today, He wants to help us too. And He wants to help us to bear fruit. And I hope that we just all realize who God really is. Now, He is a God of judgment. And I will tell you, I've preached it plenty of times. When there is wickedness and deceit and unrighteousness, there is no mercy to that. The Lord doesn't do that. But do you know that when we have a heart to want to love God and serve Him and bring forth fruit for Him, you know He has a heart for us. And He loves to help us. And He knows that we are dust. He remembers that we are dust. And so He came all the way down here to help us because He knew we were dust. There wasn't anything we could do about it. But the Lord, He loves us today. And I just pray that God would help us to bear fruit in our life. That I would love to see the Lord just increase the fruit in each one's life. I think about the many gifts, and I know I say this from time to time. I see the gifts that the Lord may have for so many. How He wants to use this one, He wants to use that one, and He has His hand that He wants to work. And so you know what He's doing? He's putting us through college. He's allowing things into our life that are hard. There's hard subjects. And you know what? He wants us to just humble ourselves. He wants us to love Him and cherish Him and keep walking with Him. And do you know that in a year, 2 years, we might not even struggle with that battle anymore. You ever had something like that? Something the Lord has just helped you with so much that it's not even a problem anymore. The Lord can do that for us today and take us through. Amen.